Amen. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to take it and open it to Luke chapter 1. Luke 1 is going to be on page 855 if you're using the Bible in the pew in front of you. And if you don't own a Bible, I've said this before, but I really mean it, feel free to take that with you and let that be your Bible. That'll be an early Christmas present to you from us if you don't own a Bible. Before we get to Luke 1, I just remember when I was a kid growing up, the longest night of the entire year. You want to take a guess what night that was? Man, it was Christmas Eve, that night before Christmas, the longest night of the year. I mean, it seemed like that night went on for 100 hours. I mean, just forever to get to the next morning. As kids, I don't know about in your house, but in our house, we were all just kind of rooted out of our beds because we had family that would come over. Or sometimes we'd go to our grandmother's house and you know, we wouldn't get a bed there. We'd kind of like all gather, all the kids would gather so that the grown-ups could have beds, but all the kids would kind of like get pallets made out on the ground or sleeping bags or whatever. And we thought that was great. And there was just so much anticipation. We were so amped up. And for some reason, could never figure this out when I was a kid, but for some reason, all the adults wanted us to go ahead and go to sleep so that Christmas morning could get here. Yeah. And so they conned us as little kids into going to bed early. And the waiting game began. And I remember bedding down next to my brother and my sister in our game room on West Lane Circle in Waco, Texas. And we had our pallets in there. And I would sneak in my Walkman. Anybody remember Walkmans? For those of you who were not born, you know, several years ago, but like you've just been born recently, you've got these things called little iPods. Yeah, where you can just kind of touch stuff. Didn't have that in the 80s. We had Walkmans with these things that kind of look kind of like earmuffs, except they were little right here, and they always kind of got bent, so they would just kind of sit off to the side of your head. I had one of the upgraded Walkmans that played tapes, not CD. Those hadn't come out yet, but mine was an upgrade because it had a little feature on top. You could just kind of move this little button, and it would automatically, when your tape would end, it automatically go to the other side. And so I snuck that in to my pallet with one tape, and I listened to that one tape all night long, just lying wide awake in my little sleeping bed with my Walkman, just waiting for Christmas morning to get here, waiting, 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 and just watching the clock just inch by inch by inch by all throughout the night, listening to the same tape over and over and over again. And I would just lie there in my bed and I'd wish and I would imagine what was going to be in the living room whenever Christmas morning got here. I mean, can anybody else relate to the Christmas Eve waiting game? Just raise your hand if you can remember. Yeah, a lot of you, most of you. Has anybody else just felt like it is the 100-hour night that never quite gets there, and you're just waiting as a kid all throughout the night? Are there any parents in here who are just going, yeah, and I remember the whole con thing, and we're still doing the conning thing, because Christmas doesn't come until you go to sleep, does it? No, it's just not going to get here. And so I'm understanding that more and more as I'm a parent now. Some things just don't ever change, do they? They just never changed. I'm telling you, waiting has been a part of Christmas since that very first Christmas was here many, many years ago. It's a part of this season that we've been talking about called Advent. Advent and waiting just go together. They go together. It's during the season of Advent, that season that means arrival or coming. It's during that waiting season that we celebrate a Savior that was waited for years and years and years. And He came 2,000 years ago. And it's about waiting for that same Messiah to come back as we wait for His second arrival, His second coming, His second Advent. We are a people who are familiar with waiting. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand, but just think for a minute. How many of you feel like this morning you are in the middle of some kind of a waiting game? You're waiting for something. You're waiting on something to change. The French author Simone Weil once wrote, "Waiting patiently in expectation is the foundation of the spiritual life." Waiting patiently. Patience comes from the word patior, which means to suffer. To suffer. Are you in a season of waiting right now? Are you in a season of your life where you feel like not only are you waiting, but there's some suffering that you're waiting through? Henry Nouwen said that waiting is not a very popular attitude. Waiting is not something that people think about with too much sympathy, because so many people, particularly in our culture, think that waiting is like wasting. You're wasting time, because we live in a culture that says this: don't just sit there, do something. I mean, do something. Our culture says, get going, do something. Don't just sit there and wait. You got to do something. Waiting can feel like a desert between where you are in the moment and where you wish you were. People don't like being in the desert of waiting, do they? That desert of suffering patiently. No, they want to get out of that place by doing something, by doing anything, just not waiting. You know, one of the reasons why I really believe that we don't like to wait is because waiting means that we are acknowledging that we are not in control of the situation. We got to wait. Because if we were in control, we wouldn't be here. We'd be somewhere else doing something else, not waiting, not wasting all this time. And when we don't feel like we're in control, there is an emotion that begins to seep in and creep in to our life. And it's the emotion known as fear. And when we are out of control, we feel anxious. We feel fear. Nouwen says one of the most prevalent emotions in our atmosphere is fear. We may not like to admit that, but if we take time to step back and go, how much fear is around my life? People many times are afraid of inner feelings, afraid of other people, sometimes afraid of the future. And fearful people have a hard time being still and waiting, because what we would rather do is run, get out of that place, do something, just don't wait right there. So why in the world am I talking this morning with all of us about waiting and fearfulness all the week before Christmas? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question. Because when I look at the first pages of the Gospel of Luke, I see people who are being asked to wait. Zechariah and Elizabeth are in a waiting game. Mary is waiting. If we were to read far enough this morning, we would see an older man and woman named Simeon and Anna, who are in the temple after Jesus was born, and they were able to meet Jesus when his mother and father brought him to the temple to be dedicated, and they had been waiting for a long, long time The entire opening scene of the good news is full of people who are in the middle of the waiting game. And what we see with these people in these different scenes are God communicating to these people, to each of them, with much needed words. You'll see words like, hey, don't be afraid. I've got a good promise for you. Trust me. Just keep waiting. My promise is worth waiting for. So look with me, if you will, at the first scene with Zechariah and watch for the fear, watch for the promise, and watch for the waiting. We'll pick it up in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. And in Luke 1, verse 5, it says this: in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Men and women, sometimes you can walk faithfully with God and still have to wait. You might not see that on TV today. If you listen to messages only on TV, they might just tell you it's just all blessing. Sometimes you have to wait, even if you're doing the right thing. Verse 8, now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Check out the emotion. And Zechariah was troubled, I would be too, when he saw him. And what emotion fell upon him? Fear. And fear fell upon him. Verse 13, but the angel said to him what? Do not be afraid. Underline that. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, here comes the promise, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. Wow. So in scene one, we see fear, and we see a call from God not to be afraid. And we see a promise made. And then we see the waiting game begin. And a waiting patiently for the promise of God to be fulfilled in God's time. And if you read on down through verse 24, we will see God begin to fulfill the promise that he made to Zechariah and to his wife Elizabeth. Look at the first phrase of verse 24. And it says this: after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And then another 9-month wait ensued before the birth of John the Baptist would come on the scene, the eventual cousin of Jesus. So let's move from scene one into scene two. Mary's scene. Again, I want you to watch for the fear, the promise, and the waiting. We'll pick it up in verse 26. It says this: in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Underline that. That is a promise not only to Mary, but to all of us who call him Father. That the Lord is with you. Verse 29, but she was what? Greatly troubled. There it is again at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her what? Don't be afraid. Underline that. God's always consistent in telling his people not to be afraid. It's the most common command throughout the scriptures. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I got this. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, here comes the promise. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born. The child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, past tense. For nothing is impossible with God. Might want to hold on to that too. That's a big one when you're waiting. Nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Wow, man, that's a lot of reading this morning. It's kind of the gospel fire hydrant. But in scene two, we see something that we saw in scene one. We see fear. And we see a call from God not to be afraid. And we see a promise that's been made. And we see the waiting game begin. And they didn't have Walkmans. They just had to wait. Awaiting patiently, sometimes in suffering, for the promise of God to be fulfilled in time. And we see God begin to fulfill the promise that he made to Mary somewhere between the end of verse 38 and the beginning of verse 39. Watch what happens after God made his promise to Mary. In verse 39, it says this, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, the mother of my Lord, should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of that promise. That there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. You see, God began to put in motion the fulfillment of his promise that Mary would become pregnant, and she did. And the waiting game for the total fulfillment, the 9-month fulfillment, continued. Let me just stop right here. And let me make a very important point in this part of the Bible, this part of the story, for all who find themselves in the waiting game. We need to hear and recognize this. Waiting is best done in the context of community. Can we just take an out loud note together and just make that statement together? Waiting is best done in the context of community. Because did you see what happened? Did you see what happened here? When two people, both people who had fear in their lives, who were both told by God, don't be afraid, and who both had a promise that was given to them, and then they had to wait. Did you see what they did? The waiting Mary got up and went and connected with the waiting Elizabeth and Zechariah, and they waited together with the promises inside of them that had been given to them by God. Folks, waiting is best done in the context of community. Patience is best cultivated with somebody else beside you. Suffering does not have to take place in silent isolation. People who wait like God desires for them to wait are not fearful because they have received a promise that allows them to wait with great expectation, even if the promise is only that God is going to be with you in the midst of your waiting. And sometimes that patience is a season of suffering. There are some of you this morning who are waiting patiently in a season of suffering, and if that's you, the promise God wants you to remember this morning is His name, is Emmanuel, the God who is with you right in the midst of your suffering. Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary were living that promise, and it nurtured them, and it fed them, and it allowed them to stay right where they were, not just go do something, but to stay in the midst of that promise. And in this way, the promise that they were given began to grow and began to nurture them. And people who wait with a promise that has been given to them are a candidate to be blessed. And not only are they a candidate to be blessed, they are a candidate to bless other people in the midst of their waiting. Did you see that in verse 45? Look at it again with me. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And the promises that were given to Zechariah and to Elizabeth and to Mary, they were fulfilled. And blessing was a part of that fulfillment. Look in verse 57. It's a part of the fulfillment. Now when the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, she bore a son. You know what just screams out of the scripture when I read that? God keeps His promises in His own time. And for Mary and for Joseph, that promise came to fulfillment in Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And it says, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Again, God keeps His promises in His time. You know, as I just sat with these scenes in this story, there were a three-word phrase in both of those scenes. The time came, Luke 1, 57, and in Luke 2, 6, the time came. Folks, God keeps His promises in His own time, and you cannot rush it. You just have to wait for it. Our job is to wait without fear that God's going to come through on His promise while we wait with great expectation. And as we wait, a blessing is occurring that we may not even be aware of. Do you remember the quote we read earlier from Simone Weil? Waiting patiently in expectation is the foundation of the spiritual life. Folks, as you're waiting, your life is becoming a strong foundation to live within and to become who God longs for you to become. And that's only going to take place to its fulfillment as you wait. As you wait patiently, which sometimes means there's going to be suffering involved in the waiting. Just don't wait alone. Wait in the context of community. That's what Mary did. That's what Elizabeth did. That's what Zechariah did. And that's what God wants our lives to be about as well, as we wait without fear, with a promise in the context of community. Okay, let me just stop right here. Because right now, I've just been watching you, just like I did the first service. And there's some in the room who are kind of going, that wasn't really the Christmas message I was planning on hearing today. Hang on. Got a word for you in a second. Because there's some of you in this room that have so laser-beamed your heart and your mind and your eyes in with what I've been talking about, and you've just been sitting here, and you haven't maybe realized it, but you've just been going like this for about 25 minutes. Needing to hear truth from God's Word. That you don't have to be afraid in the midst of your suffering. Church family, we all go through different seasons in life. Some of us in the room are right smack dab in the middle of the desert of suffering. Even though it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go. Did you know there's a tree in the Grand Hotel? And one in the... You've been to the same park I have. Seriously, how do I know that some of you are suffering? Because I'm your pastor, and you talk to me. And you vomit suffering out. And sometimes you kind of hold it in, but it seeps out through your pores, and I can smell it. You're suffering, and it's a season. It's not an eternity. And God says, don't be afraid, because I'm with you. And some of you are sitting there going, I'm not in the season of suffering, but I still feel like I'm waiting. What do you want me to do? I want you to wait for people who are suffering and with people who are suffering. You know, what am I supposed to do? Just don't tell them, well, when I was suffering, it was much worse than what you're going through, let me tell you that. Don't one-up them on your suffering, okay? That's not the present they want for Christmas. They do not want the present of perspective. They want the present of your presence. And they just want to know that they're not alone in the midst of whatever desert they're walking through. Mary, Elizabeth sat with one another and played the waiting game together. Can I tell you what you need is a context of a community that you can wait in. It's what our ABFs are for. You go, what's an ABF? I'm new. That's what we call our Sunday school around here. Bible fellowships, adult Bible fellowships, or student Bible fellowships, or children's Bible fellowships. It's a place where you can wait for the promises of God to come through and to come true, where you don't have to be alone, and you can wait with other people with skin on who are going through stuff that'll pray with you and for you and sit with you and listen to you and weep with you and rejoice with you. And if you're not there, you need to move towards a group that you can wait in. Because if you're not in a season of waiting right now, your season's coming. It's coming. Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary were people not filled with wishes. They were filled with hope. There's a difference between being filled with wishes and being filled with hope. And the hope that was different for them is that they'd been promised something that was going to come true. Because the one who promised it always keeps his promises. It wasn't just a Christmas wish. It was a hope and a promise by a faithful God who always keeps his promises. Do you know what prayer is? Prayer is coming around a promise that God is with you in the midst of your waiting and has started something in you that is going to be fulfilled because God said it would be fulfilled. And prayer is coming around that promise and saying, I'm not going to be afraid because you're with me. And there's a season coming that's going to end this desert that I'm in. And joy is going to come some morning. And God goes, just keep waiting. Just don't be out on an island, because they'll pick you off if you're on an island. But when you're in the context of community, you can circle the wagons and suffer in the midst of safety. So, what does this look like if you're not a first century Jew in the pages of Scripture? What does this look like for us? Well, I want to introduce to you a couple of people in our church who are waiting for God to fulfill a promise in their life. I want you to meet Sid and Stacy Emery. Would you welcome them to the platform? This is Sid and Stacy. Sid and Stacy have been members here at Arapahoe Road for about the last 6 months or so. They got three kiddos, Wes, Will, and Bonnie. And you guys are in the middle of a waiting game. Tell us what you are waiting for.
Well, we came to Texas about 4.5 years ago to attend seminary. We had been a part of a church in South Carolina, where we're from, that we had just been changed by the community groups there that we were a part of. We led a couple. We were a part of several. And, we just did life together. And it was in that we sensed that God had something for us that he was calling us to, and it was to plant a church. So we came to seminary and finished up this past May, and we're ready to go. Very ready to go to do what God had called us to, and but God said, there's some waiting to do, and in this time He has been changing us in ways that seminary started, but it's been just an incredible change since then. Of just waiting for this place that we're wanting to be, that we've visited a few times in the last couple of months, and just have felt this incredible sense of home and just a love for people that we don't even know yet. But God has said, wait, there's more for you to learn.
Yeah. Stacy, talk with me a little bit about what are you guys doing while you're waiting? During this season, what's your family doing?
Well, it was easy when we graduated. I mean, I told Sid, I said, after some resistance coming to seminary, I was the great wife who suffered through. And when he graduated, I said, okay, I can have the boxes packed the next day. I'm ready. So there was a little bit of that pullback of I don't want to get involved because we're going to leave. And you pushed us through that. In fact, I think the term you used was, I'm going to push you. And you have done it very well. but we are, we've had the wonderful blessing to us of getting to know a lot of young adults, a lot of young couples. And we just look for any opportunity we get to spend time with them. Yeah. And just share life together. And then we're going to actually get to start a Bible study with Jane in January for young adults.
Okay. Now there's somebody in the community that you guys have been, we've been talking about blessing other people while you're here. Tell what you guys are doing.
Ruby.
This is so great.
Her name is Ruby.
Ruby.
And
okay.
When my grandmother was in a nursing home and you go to the family parties, there was always the people that you knew, they never had anybody. And these people are full of wisdom. And they're beautiful people. And they're worth my time. And so we went up here to Winter Haven, and I said, I want somebody who has nobody. And the activities director told me, she said, I know the perfect lady for you. Said she's pleasantly confused. And
I hope that's how they describe me someday, when pleasantly confused.
What that means is that every week when I go to see Ruby, it's a new meeting. And most of the time we've never met before. And so it's for her, it's new every time. And but we just love loving on her and taking her little things, and it can be something as simple as Christmas socks, and you'd think we gave her a house,
And you take your kids?
We take the kids. The kids are great with her. She just loves having the young around her. And they've even said when we've come home before that, you know, Mom, she's the blessing. So we enjoy spending time. And this week's her Christmas party. And we look forward to going and seeing her for Christmas and hearing what new things she comes up with this time. So.
Hey, guys, as we wrap up, how can we be praying for you as a family as you're waiting on this promise of planting a church in South Carolina to be fulfilled? How can your church home be praying?
Well, first of all, for us, this we've been surrounded by people here that we were pleasantly surprised to, you know, as Stacy said, we were leaving, and God has kept us here and then brought us to Arapahoe Road, and just we've been surrounded by just some amazing people that have cared for us and are waiting with us. And so that's been a blessing. But as we're going forward, we're starting to raise support, and that's a new thing for us. But we know that God's called us to this, so we do it unashamedly. But it's new, and we're just getting started. But it's, you know, we want our first year in Charleston to be one that God uses, and is we're learning to just open our hands and let Him lead us and make us into the people that He desires for us to be. So just pray for us in that, because it's, you know, it's great to have plans of our own, but God has an ultimate plan, and He just wants to have people that are just willing to open up their hands and let Him use them. So as we're doing that, pray for us, and we certainly appreciate it.
Hey, church family, why don't you pray with me as I voice a prayer over the Emerys. Lord, thank you so much for Sid and for Stacy and for their kids, and just for the way that they are not wasting this season of waiting, but they are investing in kingdom purposes. Lord, they are plugging in. They are making friendships and relationships. They're walking through seasons of life with other people who are calling Arapahoe Road home. Lord, I'm so proud of them, and I know that you've got a plan. You've already given them a promise. And Lord, as they work through these final days while they're with us, whenever it's time for them to go, Lord, I pray that they would be so ready, Lord, that you would have provided for them everything they need to take that next step of faith. And Lord, while they're here, may they continue to wait in patience. And Lord, may they not waste these days. We just commit to lifting them up as a church family, and praying for them and walking alongside and waiting alongside of them during this season of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you help me to thank the Emerys for coming and sharing a little bit of their story? So I don't know what you're waiting for, but we're all waiting for something. We've all been promised something by God. We've been promised that He's going to be with us, and promised that He's got a plan for our lives, that He's not going to forsake us, and that He's going to hear us when we pray. And in the meantime, we wait. We wait with hopeful and patient expectation, and we seek to bless others that God puts in our path. That's what Advent is about, and what God would have us to be about, as we are waiting in expectation. It's about waiting through the night for God to show up in the morning, and as we do, to experience His hope and His peace and His joy and His love right where we are. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the stories that are all throughout this congregation, all throughout this church. Lord, there's all kinds of people that are waiting for all kinds of different things. And as we wait, may we wait faithfully in community. Lord, there's some who've been coming here for a while, and they've been kicking the tires, but they've never made this their home church. And Lord, as we stand in a moment, if there are any that need to join this church, I pray you'd give them courage to come and make that next step and take that next step, and let us help them with that. maybe there's some who were encouraged by the three young ladies who were baptized this morning. And Lord, all morning long, you've just been stirring their heart. As we stand in a moment and sing, would you just give them that nudge to walk and to come and talk with me and just say, hey, I want to be baptized. Or maybe it's the person who's never put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. And this morning, they want to step into that. And step into that relationship. I'd love to talk with them and tell them more. Lord, whatever we need to do in these next moments before we dismiss, may we do them as people who are seeking you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. In Jesus' name.